Fourth and final hour of Darren and Donnie here on this Thursday afternoon, this rainy day. Hope everybody is having a good day. Hope to see a lot of you down here tonight. It'll be a packed house at Bridgestone Arena, Predators and Winnipeg Jets. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame, everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. And then they'll finish up this three-game homestand. The last home game of January will be Saturday against the Florida Panthers. Predators will have two games next week on the road before they will be off for just over a week. All-star break, bye week, and then they'll get cranked up for a heavy, heavy February. In fact, remember, Monday in Denver will be a 2 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 1 o'clock in the afternoon as the Predators and Avalanche on Martin Luther King Day will do battle at the Pepsi Center. And then they'll finish things up Wednesday in Vegas, which, Willie, you got hosed, man. It's a national game. You don't get to go to Vegas. Staying back.
We do have another trip to Vegas, though, later in the season.
Man, those are not the trips you want, you know. But they got maxed out on the national schedule, so what are you going to do?
It's part of it, man.
That's right. Brian Muntz, he's the color commentator on radio for the Jets. He can do it all. He's in town. Brian, what's up?
All good, guys. Just wandering through the rain here today. What's going on?
Yeah, I know. It's not. It's our first little. The weather, I guess, temperature-wise, is that the blast is coming this weekend. Like, you know, the Chiefs and the Patriots are going to play in like 1 degree at Arrowhead. That blast will eventually make its way here. I don't know why I'm telling you this stuff. You're used to cold weather. You know, this is no big deal. You probably came to Nashville to be like 70, you know, where's the 70 degrees? Well, that was last week where we had almost 70 degrees. But it's not going to be while you're here. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Well, that's okay, though. It was like minus 30 when we took off yesterday, I want to say. So, and it's supposed to be, I don't know what it is in your guys' temperature, but it's like 20 degrees Celsius or something tomorrow in Dallas. So, yeah, we're okay. Don't worry about us.
Yeah, last year when Willie and I were there in Winnipeg for the second round of the playoffs, I looked at Willie. I was like, why do they have so many, you know, walkways that are indoors up top? You know, all these buildings connecting each other. Then I walked outside. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I'm gonna go experience those walkways. They're indoors.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, do we lose Brian?
Nope, I'm here.
We couldn't hear you. Sorry, you went away.
Oh, probably a benefit for you guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we were talking about this earlier, Brian. How do the Jets, let's get the other perspective. We were kind of throwing out there, like, is this the biggest rivalry today? Now for the Predators, because of last season in the regular season, two best teams, then they battle to Game 7 in Round 2. How do the Jets view the Predators?
Well, it's been an interesting week, guys, because on Tuesday, Vegas was in Winnipeg, and it was the first time that the Jets and Golden Knights had played since Round 3 of the Stanley Cup playoffs last year when the Jets were eliminated in 5, so it was kind of intriguing being around Bridgestone Arena this morning, and Willie, you were down there for the room. It was kind of a reverse role where going into the game on Tuesday, everybody was saying, well, it's kind of redemption for Winnipeg. Now coming into the game here today, everybody's saying, well, it's redemption again for Nashville because the Predators were knocked out by the Jets last year. So the Winnipeg goes into their bye week as well. After the game on Saturday in Dallas, they've got the week off going into All-Star. So the schedule probably couldn't have worked out much better for the teams this week because there's the extra kind of games within the game and a little bit more of a rivalry for them having these big Western Conference games compared to maybe if you were out East or playing some other teams that you don't have that history with. But there's no question that the Jets and Predators have built something here over the last couple of years that there's not a lot of love lost between the two teams. And we always see some pretty good games, so I think it's going to be just an outstanding night tonight inside Bridgestone Arena.
I don't think anybody here would send a gift basket to Dustin Byfuglien's room in Nashville. I think, you know, he kind of has that effect with the fans, but he's a big physical guy. He hasn't played a game in 2019, so he's been out of the lineup for a bit. What's going on with Dustin Byfuglien? And I know he's not playing tonight, but how long is this going to be, in your opinion?
Yeah, he's got a lower body injury right now, and we saw him prior to the game against Vegas doing some off-ice workouts. So when he went down, the time frame was at some point right around bye week / all-star break for him to hopefully get back in the lineup. And obviously he's not on the road trip here, so he won't play tonight. He won't play against Dallas coming up on Saturday. But if everything goes according to plan, I think they're hopeful that he can be back when they resume their schedule out in Philadelphia on a road trip, or maybe a couple games into that journey there. So he's closer than what Nikolaj Ehlers is, that's for sure. But, you know, there's a great presence on the ice, and you guys know it. You were just talking about it when 33 is available to play, that he keeps everybody honest, and at some points he's kind of like the third linesman out there as well, kind of controlling the piles of players when tempers start to flare a little bit. So he is a void, but for whatever reason it's been, and I guess it shows the depth inside the organization right now, that they've been able to kind of keep this thing going here without him. Kind of what you guys were able to do without a lot of the top players that, you know, Nashville's kind of battled with the injury bug here too.
We had David Poile stop by in the second hour of the show, back in the 11 o'clock hour. He stopped by here, hung out with us at the desk, and we were talking to him about the trading deadline. From the Winnipeg perspective, and there's already been some trades, by the way. We're already seeing some kind of early trades. What do you think Winnipeg, what you know, obviously they're not sellers, but, I mean, how active are they going to be, in your opinion? Because you know, Brian, that they're facing some challenges in the offseason. I mean, they've got, you know, how are they going to move all this money around to make it all work within the cap? So how do you think they're going to approach the deadline? Last year they went for the splash move in Stastny.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of what's got the city of Winnipeg curious right now is, will Kevin Cheveldayoff do that again and add somebody that they feel is an upgrade for a long playoff run? Now, the way Brian Little's playing right now, who, by the way, just played his 800th game in the National Hockey League on Tuesday against the Vegas Golden Knights, might be playing some of his best hockey of his career right now into his 12th season. So I don't think there's necessarily a desire for this club to make a lot of changes to their roster or additions. I think they feel right now, when you look at the success that they've had this season, that if they were to stay status quo and get Ehlers and Byfuglien back into the lineup, Ben Chiarot won't play as well here tonight. So you put those three veterans back in, I think they feel the group they have is good enough to compete and contend for a Stanley Cup championship this year. But there is some intrigue with those teams that are out of it already. And, you know, from a TSN standpoint, they build the most wanted list or the guys that are most likely to move already, and there's a lot of chatter, and you kind of grab the pencil and piece of paper and try and figure out some line combinations as to where some guys might fit in if they decided to bring somebody in on a rental basis. But I think the biggest thing that you hit the nail on the head right there is, in the cap era right now, you have to manage so many of these dollars and allocate for the players that are coming up to free agency and where guys fit on bridge deals and all that kind of thing. So it's not just like you can add somebody and throw them in there and away you go. There's a lot of dollars and cents here that you have to deal with.
Brian, it's so interesting you spell that out from Winnipeg's perspective. We've been talking about a lot of the same things here. Brian Munns is with us.
Yeah.
TSN 1290. So, In your mind, how well equipped, if they want to make a deal, are the Jets to do that without jeopardizing, you know, the next 2 or 3 years with this great, with this really good nucleus that they've put together?
Well, I think, Willie, you nailed it right there when you said jeopardize, because they don't want to do that. And even when the club came from Atlanta, they weren't very good. Like, that's honest. That's just the way it was. There wasn't a lot in the cupboard there, and they've been able to draft and develop, and really they've used the Nashville model as an example so many times when they get asked about kind of the process that they've been in now into their eighth season here as to how they've been able to get players into the system and get them to spend some time in the American Hockey League, and then when they're ready to go, come up to the NHL. And that's really what the Jets have done in mirroring the Predators. And I think that's why when you look at the standings right now, these teams are 1-2, and we're probably going to see them flip-flop a lot here before we get to the end of the regular season in early April. So I think when you take a look at what David Poile's gone through with, and, you know, he doesn't want to get rid of a lot of young players because they feel the window is now, and Kevin Cheveldayoff's kind of in that same scenario here, that there's not a lot of interest to move a Jack Roslovic or other young players, a Kyle Connor that's fit into so well of a spot now on that Shifley and Wheeler line that you don't want to get anybody for maybe a 2 or a 3 or a 4 month player. You know, I think they feel right now that there's enough skill in a lot of these young guys, that there's enough depth with everybody else that you can kind of put those pieces together, and it comes out to a pretty good result for you. So I honestly don't think that you're going to see any big moves here for, as you guys put, mortgaging the future for a Stanley Cup run or anything like that, because, again, they feel right now they've got the team that can make enough noise here and have success if they're healthy and well-rested through a really tough time of the season.
Brian, this is part of the thinking, at least that I have right now. It would be interesting. I just try to put myself in the shoes of Kevin Cheveldayoff and David Poile, because I think they both probably have the same mindset that you just laid out. Hey, if I have everybody, my team is as good and has a chance to win the Stanley Cup as is. And so why give up more and jeopardize maybe next year's chances and the following year's chances by going all in now? But if the other were to make a move like that, how would that affect the thinking of the opposition? Because they know that they're probably going to have to get past one another in that second round again to go where they want to go.
Yeah, at some point, we're going to spend a couple weeks together if everything goes according to plan in round one, right?
Right.
Like we were able to see a year ago. But, you know, I think you're right, Willie, that there is a little bit of a kind of what are you doing right now? What am I going to do? But in saying that again, you know, the window is open for both of these teams here for the next couple of seasons. It's not like it's kind of a one-and-done scenario where you look at, like, last year, Game 7 could have went either way. Game 6 could have went either way. And that's how close these two teams are. And you look at it again coming into a regular season matchup here in early January or mid-January now in the calendar. And, you know, I thought P.K. Subban put it best today when we talked to him inside the room. He said, nobody's in the Western Conference Final or the Stanley Cup in this game here tonight, but you can guarantee that it's going to feel like it as the night goes on, that, you know, the rivalry is there. And really the respect, I think, for both organizations as well, from the management to the players that have so much fun being involved in this series here. So I think it's one of those things where you get to these games, and unfortunately we only play each other four times this season, that there's some pretty good angst leading into the 7 o'clock start. And I think everybody just kind of wants to get to the game tonight. And I know Connor Hellebuck said this morning as well, he loves the atmosphere inside the arena. You don't see a lot of chants like the fans of the Predators do towards the visiting goalie anymore. Kind of takes him back to his college days. So I think that, you know, we're in for an outstanding matchup here.
My guess is they should make sure, as we sit here in the arena, and check the penalty box doors, make sure they work, because my guess is they'll probably be opened and closed at some point tonight.
Well, yeah, but you know what? When you take a look at the way the special teams have been and how the league's kind of going here right now, you can't afford to shoot yourself in the foot that many times, because you could lose the game on two shots, right, with the effectiveness of both power plays. So I think right now, as much as we've seen, and I remember the last couple of times that we've come into this building during the regular season, and you guys remember there, I think, when there was 5 or 6 players per side that were squished inside the penalty boxes, that I think, and it's kind of the word I used in the last answer there, is there's too much respect on the other sides of each bench here, that they're going to allow too much of that extracurricular to go because of how important these points are now in the standings.
I think it was 7 aside, I think. Memory serves me correct.
No, again, if it happens, we're not going to be disappointed on the air, and you guys aren't either, because it makes for a fun game to watch. But I think the guys are probably a little smarter than maybe what we are.
Brian, enjoyed the visit as always. Thanks for doing this. We'll see you tonight.
All right, boys. Have a good afternoon. See you in a few hours.
All right, you do the same. Brian Munns, color commentator for the Jets on the radio side.
I guarantee you this. The Predators do not want to have a game where each team has 6 power plays. You take a look at that Jets power play.
No.
And the struggles of the Nashville power play are well documented. So I think if you told the Predators you could play a game where each team gets 2 power play chances or 1, they'll take that and sign up.
We'll talk a little bit more about that and give you a chance to win Metallica tickets before we get out here this hour. You're going to want to be listening. We were just admiring these gigantic Jack Daniels bottles here in Jack Daniels Barrel House. There's a Gentleman Jack, and then there's two Old Number Sevens, you know, just big, gigantic bottles. And from our vantage point here at our desk, and Lindsey Rally was talking about this with us back in the second hour, we've been kind of eyeing these things like, man, this is kind of a tease to see these huge bottles. One of Gentleman Jack, a couple Jack Daniels. So I decided to go over there and just check them out, Willie. And to my surprise, it's no longer intriguing. They're empty. They're empty. They look like they're full of Jack Daniels and Gentleman Jack. They're empty. So that was a downer. So now I don't
I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't know. I was.
You were really lured.
I was excited. Yeah. I've been sitting there staring at them for three plus hours. Man, where did they get those?
And your mind was thinking, real? Man, think about how many
what kind of party,
how many shots,
what kind of Super
Bowl
party could we have with that? Woo! They're empty. What stood out with you about Brian talking about the Jets tonight?
Well, you know, he's got a pretty good pulse of the Jets. He travels with them. He is their color announcer on radio. I mean, he knows them as well as anybody. And so I think that they are in a very similar situation as the Predators. I think it's very intriguing because one could decide, I'm going all in for this year. I'm going to take my best shot this year. I'm going to make that move and grab a big name guy, and I'll pay the price, whatever price that is. I'm not saying that's the smartest thing to do, but I'm saying they could. That is an option because those guys are out there. And you can go down the list. Matt Duchene, Wayne Simmonds, Michael Stone, Gustav Nyquist, you know, some guys who are producing, having good years. They could make a difference on your roster. But they also have to be cognizant that, you know, they're going to be good for 3 or 4 years. You know, if everything goes right, and they don't want to, it's not like they stop playing after this year, even though they're both in the situation where they really want to win the cup. Neither one of them has ever won it, right? They're hungry for it. So if one did make a good move, how would that influence the other? I've thought about that a lot. This is the last time they play each other until the trade deadline. So I wanted to hear the Jets' perspective, but the Jets' perspective through Brian sounds pretty similar to what we heard with David Poile. Hey, if I have all my guys, if I have my roster as it is right now, as long as there's not a huge amount of pieces missing with injury, we have a chance to win.
Are both GMs going to be playing chess? Or is one going to play chess and the other play checkers? What is the mindset of the two GMs?
That's a good question. I think they both know this. The Predators right now are not dying to use up more resources like their first-round pick or their top prospects or anybody off of their existing roster to make a move. They're not really excited about that because their system is a little bit thin. For the Jets, in my opinion anyway, just looking at it, they know that coming up in this offseason, they've got to sign Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine to the next contract. They're going to get huge raises. Right now, they're in their entry-level deals. They're both making less than $1 million. They're going to get raises. Now, they don't have to, if they don't want to, sign them to the big one yet, but they might. And that's going to create some, you know, restrictions on what you can do with the rest of their roster. So, you know, they want to be cognizant of any deal that they do this year, how it affects locking up Patrick Laine and locking up all the other pieces that they want to keep for the next 2-3 years while the window is open.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to find out. We're going to actually try to read the pulse from you the next two segments for Metallica tickets. Next Thursday here at the Stone. I'm going to be here for it. Can't wait. By the way, Willie, I won't be here on Friday. I'm not coming the next day. I'm off. So just be prepared for that. I plan on having fun here at the Metallica concert. But you're going to have a chance to do that. But you have to tell us what is the biggest rival in your mind. You. Look, there is no wrong answer. But I want you to tell us, who is the biggest Predators rival, in your opinion, and why? And maybe it's for completely different reasons. It doesn't have to be what the masses think. We're asking you. Is it the Winnipeg Jets? Is it the Anaheim Ducks? Is it the Chicago Blackhawks? Is it the Detroit Red Wings because you used to come here the first 10 years in existence and that's what you always remember? I mean, like I said, to each his own. Everybody's going to have their own story. But we would like to know from you, what is your big – you when you identify the Predators and this opponent, you view that as the biggest – maybe it's the Pittsburgh Penguins because of a couple years ago. What is it? 737-1025, 737-1025, the best answer we get, the one we like the most. You'll be at Metallica next Thursday here at Bridgestone Arena with me. I mean, literally not with me, but we'll be in the same building together. Willie, you tell everybody about Lee Company. We'll come back with phone calls.
All right, hit the line, 737-1025. I'll tell you about Lee Company. The number to remember there is 617. Am I going to Boston? No, they're not in Boston. They're here in Nashville. That would be 615, the area code. 567-1000 is the phone number. I tell you every day about this, even though my wires could get crossed from time to time. Lee Company is a big sponsor of the Nashville Predators. If you're coming to the game tonight and you're listening to our station, you're going to hear Lee Company, a big sponsor of Darren's radio coverage. Of course, here in the building, you'll see the Lee Company display. And it lays out all of the great things that they have in terms of services for your home and your business. It could be your security system. It could be a maintenance issue that you have in your business. They have a lot of different things that they can offer you. All you've got to do is check them out online at LeeCompany.com. But the biggest thing for us, the Donick family, they look after our house because we're members of the home maintenance plan. They check our heating unit. They check our air conditioning unit, electric unit, and also, of course, the plumbing systems in your home. Yearly checkups, discounts if maintenance needs to be made, and over time it will. It's going to save you money. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. LeeCompany.com is the website. The phone number 615-567-1000. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
What's the Predators' biggest rivalry in your mind? That's what we're asking you. 737-1025. What is it? To each his own. There is no wrong answer, but just tell us why. The best one before we get out of here today, you'll be here at Bridgestone Arena next Thursday, this time next week, to see Metallica. Let's start things off with Curtis. Curtis, the biggest rivalry game for you is what?
It's the Jets.
So it is the Jets.
It may not be the longest rivalry they've had, but I believe this is the Predators team that we all know can win a Stanley Cup. You know, the last 3 years they've moved into that spot. And I think the Jets are the biggest obstacle for them to even get to the finals. So I believe that's why this is the biggest rivalry.
So this is what gets you going the most. This game right here. This is what gets you going the most on the schedule. This game right here?
Yes. Because I think it shows how, you know, it's not going to be an exact of what's going to happen if they meet in the playoffs. But at least you can kind of see how the teams stack up and maybe going into the trade deadline, what we need to make sure that when we meet in the playoffs that we're going to win that series. I think this is one of the games that lets you know that. So I definitely think it's the Jets.
Okay. Good start. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
737-1025, 737-1025. Tell us your biggest rivalry game against the Predators. Who is it and why? Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, you're up next. Welcome in.
Well, you guys may think I'm crazy, and you may not call it a rivalry, but I think it's Phoenix. We can't do anything right to beat them. A couple years ago, they put us out of the playoffs. They have our number, and they beat us and beat us and beat us. And I just feel like we've got to get by them in order to get to our others.
So you get geeked the most for the game against the Coyotes?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, when you look at it, they keep beating us.
Yeah, no, I just know you're what you've said is true.
I mean, we're number one 2 years ago. They were at the bottom. They beat us. We're number one again last year. They beat us. This year, they beat us. It doesn't matter if we're in the number one in the league or in the conference or the division. No matter where Phoenix is, and they're at the bottom, they beat us.
It's kind of like the Peter Mrazek stat, right? It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain away how Peter Mrazek 7-0 against the Preds career-wise.
I feel like we got a better chance beating Winnipeg than Phoenix.
Along those lines, Kathy, how would you feel walking into the Music City Center, which is directly behind us, and you found a coyote in there?
I know. At least he was really friendly.
Well, the picture was cute. Well, we don't know if he was really friendly. The picture was certainly cute.
Yeah.
What a weird story. Hey, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Now coyotes are even breaking into our buildings.
I didn't even know the coyotes were – that could be an answer, but to a point, I see that.
Hey, there's no right or wrong answer.
What a bizarre story, right? A coyote walking around the Music City Center. I guess they corralled it into the bathroom, and then they called the proper folks to come and get the coyote and then take it out to the woods and set it free. I did not know the coyotes were wandering downtown.
They're around. They're in this area.
I did see
they're everywhere.
I did see a good tweet. Somebody said, "I know the coyotes are moving to the Central Division, but yeah, it looks like they're trying to get an early jump on getting to Nashville." Thought that was pretty clever.
Pretty good stuff.
737-1025. Let's see. Let's go to John. John, what is your big rivalry?
Biggest. Hey guys, for me it's got to be the Ducks.
The Ducks.
I mean,
okay.
I feel like these last 4 or 5 years, they've laid a pretty good foundation between Getzlaf's crotch shots and Corey Perry's constant complaining that every time I see them lose, like that streak they're on right now, I just salivate and I love it.
Yeah. Their streak at right now? 13? Is that right? 12?
Yeah, I think, 12, 13? I think that's what it is right now. Yeah, and I'm loving it. Every time I turn on the NHL Network and I see they've lost, I just get a nice feeling inside, and I feel like that's gonna go on for years, even when they are really bad and I see them losing all the time.
But will it be the same? Will it be the same though, John? If Perry and Kessler are great players, but they're at the end of their careers. When they go away, will it still feel the same?
I think so, because like I said, I think they've laid a foundation now where I will enjoy seeing them struggle for the rest of my life. You know, kind of like even like because like I have a buddy who's a Lakers fan, and no matter how bad the Celtics are, he cannot stand to see them. You know, he loves seeing them lose. You know, and I feel like that's at the level I'm at with the Ducks right now.
Wow.
And the fact that, you know, their coach, Randy Carlyle, every time I hear his name, it makes me think of, I don't know if you know who the musical artist is, Brandi Carlile, and my wife loves her, and I've been dragged to probably 7 shows of hers. And I've seen her more than any other artist I've ever seen, and every time I hear Randy Carlyle's name, I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't want to go to another one of those shows.
I'm not sure Randy's going to be there much longer.
I know.
It seems like
his
shelf life is running out for the second time.
So it's all working out great for me right now.
Okay. Yeah, I was waiting for this call. Thank you, John. Good stuff.
All right, man. Thank you.
I like that. He said it doesn't matter. As long as they will be forever ingrained in his head as a team he wants to see lose, the Ducks. And by the way, they are on their longest losing streak in franchise history. Franchise history. They've never lost this many games. Winless streak.
Yep.
I think it's 0-8-4, I believe. 0-8-4 is their – I think it's 12. They lost
That's
to –
That's where it is right now, yeah.
They lost to Detroit 3-1 on Tuesday night. They've got the Wild tonight in Minnesota. So, yeah, 0-8-4 in their last 12.
And as bad as it is right now, they are not out of the race at all. There's a lot of hockey left. And in some years, they might be out of it. But this particular year, it's very flattened out in the standings. And so Minnesota, this is a big game. Minnesota and the Ducks. Minnesota has not had a great stretch here. I'm looking at their last 10. They've won, they've rebounded a little bit, 6 out of 10. but they're right on the bubble, both of those teams.
By the way, the Ducks, four-game homestand before they went on this little road trip that they're on currently. They lost to Vegas. They got shut out by the Oilers, 4-0. Lost to Ottawa in overtime and got smoked by the Penguins. That was their four-game homestand. Yikes.
Imagine, too, you've got the Ducks and the Wild playing tonight, and they just made the trade for Pontus Aberg.
Yes, that's correct.
So that'll be an intriguing storyline.
Tonight in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Very good. All right, let's go to DW. DW, who is your biggest rivalry game against the Predators?
Man, guys, my biggest rivalry, and I'll give you several reasons, it's the Blackhawks. And it just, I think it always will be. And it's as much as it, well, Taze and Kane, and Taze always has this, like, smart alecky smirk. You know, this guy is just, I just can't imagine that he's a fun person to be around. But although, yeah, you would like for him to play for your team if he's playing good. Anyway, but when it comes to it's their fan base as much as anything, I endured, you know, I think it was, what, 4 or 5 years ago. It was late season. We weren't going to be in the playoffs. They took over Bridgestone on a Saturday afternoon.
Oh,
I took my wife to this game.
I'll never
and my wife put me on notice. She said, never again take me to a Blackhawks game.
It was bad. When you looked outside the arena, DW, when you looked outside the arena, it was a sea of red just coming out of Bridgestone Arena.
And there's a sea of red, and everyone had been drinking for like 24 solid hours. You know, I guess it's their national pastime. Their wives and girlfriends weren't much to look at either. They were pretty not classy. But, you know, and I was ready for my wife to get in a fight with some people around us, just the way things were. And I got put on notice after that, never again. You know, and then you go on social media or whatever, and especially when they were winning the cups, they were God's gift to hockey. And it's like they knew so much, but they didn't even know their own history that 10 years ago before Taze and Kane came along, they couldn't even sell out their barn. They were getting like 8,000 people in one of the largest cities in the nation. They couldn't even, you know, they were about to lose their hockey team. Pittsburgh has that same kind of problem. They don't know their knowledge either. But, you know, it's just the fan base and then just, I guess, those guys. You get several good guys that it's just like, how do they get rewarded so well? But they're paying for it now in salary, and it's hurting them. So, yeah. So that's at least that's good to see.
If you've been in this market more than 5 minutes, you don't really need to explain it much. So
yeah,
you did a good job. You know, you did a really good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's why I think it's going to be interesting. If you have to say yes or no, are the Jets the top rival now? You'll get a mixed bag, as we've gotten in our poll here.
By the way, DW, he'll be happy to hear this. The team with the worst goal differential in the league, Chicago Blackhawks, minus 37. Worst in the NHL.
They are going for the number one pick. I mean, honestly.
Wait a minute. Well, you think that they're sucking for Hughes?
I think they're going to give themselves every shot. They can't stop anybody. I mean, that's
well,
the
problem. Well, like I said, they're the worst goal differential in the league.
And that's how I think they're going to get it, you know, they're going to be able to skate through because they're going to score. I think they can score. You got Kane. You got some dynamic offensive players. They're going to score a lot and give up a lot, so they'll be a somewhat entertaining losing team. But that's something to keep your eye on. And remember also, Colorado has Ottawa's first pick. So I think you're just keeping your fingers crossed that Jack Hughes, who is, you know, I don't know if he's
not in the Central.
Yeah, he's not in the Central, yep. But there's a chance, pretty good chance, he could end up in there.
All right, loaded lines. We'll come back. More phone calls. Wrap up Thursday. What is your biggest rivalry to the Predators and why? That's what we're asking you. On the line, you can hear it right there. Metallica, next Thursday, right here at Bridgestone Arena. Should be a fun night in the building. Let's go to Nate. Nate, what would your answer be?
What's up, guys? I think I'm kind of on the lines with the last caller. It's got to be Chicago. And for me, it's because our rise as a team has been kind of equivalent to
them falling backwards. And when we were coming into prominence, the Blackhawks fans were awful. Like, not only in our stadium, but online as well. I mean, you couldn't get on a Preds forum without some Chicago Blackhawks fan talking about Trashville this and Hillbillies that. And I mean, and then the playoff runs the last few years. You know, I remember going to Bridgestone, and there was a Blackhawks game, and we were, you know, the back and forth in that series, and they finally beat us like they did every year. And kind of now you don't have that fear in your heart when they're coming to town like you did, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. But back then, it was, you knew that odds were they were going to beat us. But now it's just, you don't care because we're better than them. We're not little brother to them anymore. And I don't know. That would be my – anytime I see us playing them, I don't care if we beat them by 1 or 50. It just makes me happy.
Good stuff, Nate. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good call.
Thanks.
I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. I don't know how you'll ever get the taste of the Blackhawks out of your mouth if you've been a Predators fan for a good while, no matter what happens.
It does, I think, the question probably comes down to how long you've been a Predator fan, when did you jump on board, and how much does that history have to do with the current situation? You heard Lindsay Rally earlier on our show make the case that currently it has to be the Jets. But I understand the people that can go back a little ways and had that hands-on experience.
But it's not that long, though, right?
It's just becoming.
It's a fresh.
I don't know if it's where it's going to be.
Like
in
Anaheim, there's been stuff in the past. It just wasn't 2 years ago. Yeah. Like there's been a history. So Anaheim, Chicago, they have history. Winnipeg is the fresh.
But you talk
the
about
new bully.
But I don't know that you've ever seen the Predators at this stage of their existence, right? Have a rival in the same division that's just as that's the same kind of place that they are. These two teams are rising to the top of the league. They're two of the best teams in the league last year, this year, and I would presume in the next few years, it's not going to change a whole lot. So it's just going in a direction where I don't think it's finished developing as a rivalry yet.
Let's go to Ultimate Predator. What's your answer?
Oh, boys, how y'all feeling tonight?
Good. Very good.
Good.
Now, this is added perspective here. We got the Ultimate Predator calling in.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
Now, this is added perspective. I think people are tuning in even more focused because the Ultimate Predator is on the line, because you are a good sounding board for this question.
Well, everybody wants my opinion. I don't know why, but sure, here we go. To me, boys, I think Winnipeg is going to be a phenomenal rival for future generations of Fred fans. These two teams are on the rise and they're going to stay there for a long time. But for me, with the social media aspect that I do with my stuff, I get more chirps and I get more heat from the fans in Anaheim. Anaheim,
really?
To me, is our biggest rival. I get more heat over there. Apparently, my picture's shown over there. They try and chirp at me over there. And as we all know from Ryan Johansson, nobody freaking likes them. I hate Chicago. I go way back and I hate Detroit. But for me, right now, as it stands, the Anaheim Ducks and the fact that they can't beat us in a game 7 at any playoff series, at any arena in the entire world, that makes them our biggest rival to me.
Interesting.
That's where I'm going to go with that, boy.
By the way, I think his exact words were, I don't know how anybody roots for that guy.
Yeah.
And by the way, to your point, I was just listening to a really good podcast that was done up in Toronto on this last road trip with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick with Ryan Johansson. And, of course, you can't get away from they talked about that series. I mean, Johansson will always probably have to discuss that series until he's done, right? I mean, it changed everything. It changed everything for both teams. And you know, I'll never forget, both of us were sitting there in the Honda Center. I'm doing post-game, and I see the comments, and I'm like, whoa.
No, I think there's a deep-seated hatred for those.
Yeah.
Teams. And like the previous caller before me, I don't care how bad they get. I love seeing Anaheim lose, and I am so glad that Aberg was able to find a way out of there.
You know, it was an interesting – I had that thought when the Ducks were playing in Winnipeg a few nights ago, and I'm thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice if Winnipeg lost and Anaheim had the lead in the third period? And I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is going to be a tough place to hang on to
lost
a lead.
In
but I was conflicted. I was like Ultimate Predator. You know, you can't help but feel like the Ducks. I don't want the Ducks to win.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you needed, if you're a Predator fan, you sort of needed the Ducks to win.
But then,
that game,
then the worst case scenario, a 3-point
game. And then it's the 3-point game. It's like, oh, come on.
Boo.
No, I still hate him. I still
all
hate
right,
him.
Ultimate. Good stuff.
That's the bottom line, boys. I'll see y'all tonight.
I like it.
In
see you tonight.
All right.
Ducks has got to be. I mean, it's definitely. It's got to be on the list. Definitely. Let's go to Michael. Michael, what's your answer?
What's going on, gentlemen?
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Well, I have to say, at first, you know, we had a big rivalry with the Red Wings. You know, Bertuzzi is a sissy, and the Weber and Zetterberg hit on the glass, and then it went to Chicago and Anaheim, and now Winnipeg. But I have to say that the biggest rivalry has to be Chicago, because you got to, in a rivalry, you have to win, and you also have to lose some. And you know, it took us, I think, beating Chicago to get over that hump in the playoffs to get out of the, you know, the first and second round. But it also helped change and make Smashville, because remember we used to have Keep the Red Out, where we gave out gold shirts if you brought in a red shirt.
Yeah.
And just with the fan base and everything in general with the Chicken Hawks, just, you know. So I would have to say Chicago.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael. You're right. When you have to change things,
yeah,
how you go about business because of you, you've had an impact.
Yeah, I thought he said it well.
That's good.
You know, it's part of building what you have every night here was, you know, the rivalry with the Blackhawks. It helped build what Smashville
is. Wasn't there, what was it, return, give your jersey up, and then you got
– Well, that goes back to the Red Wings.
The Red Wings, yeah. You
that
turned in your Red Wings.
They had conversion night.
Right, the Pred Wings, right?
Yeah, and they had a
that was fun.
They had a booth set up where they had the ceremony. You had a guy going, you are now, I convert you. You know, it was funny. You had to turn in the Red Wings jersey. They gave you a Predators hat or jersey or something like that, and the deal was done.
I'll say this quickly because we got to get out of here. I never thought it would ever shift off the Red Wings for me, just because
yeah,
I have so, you know, all the history at the beginning was Red Wings, and I remember those Saturday nights, and, you know. But it just, it's not the same with them in another conference, and now they stink. I just don't have the same feel. Like, I have no feelings for the Red Wings anymore, which is, I never thought in my lifetime I would ever have that feeling. All right, good stuff. Sorry we couldn't get to everybody. Good participation. That is going to do it for us. Stay tuned. Jared and the GM is next. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. See you then.